pain, a negative doctor's report, anxieties, and even depression. You or someone you love may be facing one of these common enemies right now. But here's wonderful news. Healing doesn't have to be hard.
God designed the communion to bring healing to your body. That is why I want to send you this easy-to-read resource completely free. It will encourage you, recharge your faith, and be a great blessing to you.
In his breakthrough book, Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion, you can receive the reality that the Holy Communion is far more than a ritual.
We have received many praise reports from believers around the world who have experienced the healing power of the communion. I really want that for you too. Make sure you request this resource today.
Call or click right now to request your free copy of Pastor Prince's Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion.
When God puts a name first, it's usually God's priority. It means God favors that first. It is actually not based on time, it's based on the quality of faith. It's based on the excellency of faith. I want to share with you why Gideon comes before Barak and Samson comes before Jephthah, okay? It's all in this message. You want your faith to be strong and robust?
Yes.
Okay, watch this. Barak's faith was, if you'll go with me, then I'll go with you. Whereas for Gideon, his eyes was on the Lord. You know, he did put out the fleece, but obviously with God, God allowed it because he was looking to the Lord. Whereas Barak was looking to the woman. Are you with me so far? It's not about chronology. It's about the quality. It's about the excellency of faith. I was preaching a few months ago on the Lord of the Vineyard, the parable, right? The one that received the most favor for the least effort, right, put in. A full day's wage was the one that trusted the landowner. Whereas the one that bargained, and we bargain, you know, that shows we are legalistic. Legalistic people bargain. Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. That should not be, people, in our walk with God. He's our Father. You are His Son. God put prophets last. You would have thought the prophets, like Pastor Henry, Pastor Lawrence, all would be named first, right? But God put prophets last. Why? God is saying ordinary people can walk in the excellency of faith.
My friend, you were made to thrive in life. If you feel like you're fighting an uphill battle that can't be won, the Lord wants you to know that you can walk in faith and boldness every day. In today's message, be strengthened in the Lord as He steadies your heart, sharpens your vision, and imparts faith for you to rise above every mountain in life. Want to know how to boldly face adversity, disappointment, anxiety about the future, and the seemingly impossible odds we're up against in this world? Find out more in Joseph Prince's book, Give Me This Mountain, yours right now for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Discover how to thrive in life and what it means to walk in faith. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to get your copy today. And now, here is Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I read the Bible and I ask questions that people don't ask. That's how I get my messages. I like to ask questions that some people don't even bother. I ask them, how about this verse? There must be an explanation. Then they will go on. But for me, I need to find out the answer. For example, I'm going to share this part here, very important that you understand. And if I have time, I'm going to share with you why Gideon comes before Barak and Samson comes before Jephthah. Okay? It's all in this message. Okay? So for the next 3 hours for our Bible study, we're going to study this. Amen? You want your faith to be strong and robust?
Yes.
Okay, watch this. This is very interesting. I was reading this one day in Judges chapter 1, verse 19. And it says this, the Lord was with Judah. How many like the Lord to be with you? Yeah. Right? But what I can't understand was what follows. It says, and they, Judah, drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. So when I read this one day, I asked myself, what? I mean, if the Lord is with His people, what about chariots of iron? they might be as well be made of tissue paper. Am I right? I mean, we've seen time and time again, Goliath clad in armor, in brass, knocked down by a single stone of a boy who had faith in God. Amen? So what is this? They could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. Now, same chapter, chapter 1, let's go to the beginning, see what happened. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. In all your challenges, the first thing that must go up to God is always praise, because Judah means praise. All right? For everything that happens in life, you get stuck in a traffic jam, you say, praise the Lord anyway. Amen. Something good, you say, praise the Lord. Something bad happens, praise the Lord anyway. Amen? Amen? First thing that goes up is praise. Judah means Yehuda, means praise. So who will go up first? Praise, Judah. And the Lord says, Judah shall go up. Indeed, watch this. I have delivered the land into whose hand? His hand, singular. That's important for you, okay? I'm giving you the revelation right now, straight away. All right? Whose hand did God deliver the enemies to? The Canaanites? Judah's hand. There are 12 tribes, but it was into Judah's hand. Well, look at the next verse though, verse 3. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. So Simeon went with him. Now, God never said, bring Simeon along. God says, I've delivered them into your hand. But he limited the Holy One of Israel, because we all want support of the flesh. We all want, you know, we want people around us. Even though the Lord called you, but you want someone else to come. That happened to Moses as well. The weakness of faith, we can see that when God first called him, it was actually God calling him to speak to Pharaoh. But then he went time and time again, I cannot speak. And God got angry. God said, who made man's mouth? And then finally God says, take Aaron, your brother. He'll be your spokesman. That wasn't God's best. God wanted him to be the spokesman. So many a times, you know, when God calls you, he will equip you. Amen. So who cares? They had chariots of iron or not, right? But he called for his brother to help him, okay? And you'll fight for me and I'll fight with you. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up and the Lord delivered the Canaanites. So in the beginning, there was deliverance. There was victory until finally drop down to verse 19. You see this happen. They cannot drive out because a chariot of iron. In other words, when you limit God, your victory is limited. It will always show up. Where you don't trust God, it will show up. Amen. Now, we're not saying don't use means. For example, if you pray, what I'm saying, talk to the Lord. Ask counsel from God before you ask counsel from men. Ask God first before you ask the opinion of anyone, no matter how godly the person is. Because men can make mistakes. And your life is too precious for men's mistakes. It's not saying don't ask for advice, but ask the Lord first. Pray to the Lord first. Amen. So that's what I'm talking about. And even you're believing God for a child, doesn't mean you cannot go for IVF. You cannot. Who says that? Who told you cannot? You can, but go to the Lord first. Amen. Ask the Lord. If the Lord tells you this is the way he wants you to go, maybe it's to humble us in some ways. Or I do not know, but God has his ways. But always go to the Lord first. Amen. It's not a shame to do IVF. Amen. Are you all with me so far? So that's what limited Judah. Huh? Now, let's do another case. We're coming to the Hebrews. Right? But first, let's look at the guy called Barak. His name is Lightning, Barak. Okay, so here we go. In Judges 4. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. Now, see? Chariots of iron again. Right? So let's see what happened. And for 20 years, he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. So at that time, Deborah was a prophetess and she was judging Israel. Isn't it amazing? We have women prophetess, and some people say that women cannot speak in the church. They misinterpret what Paul is saying. Amen. Women should, if a woman is a prophetess, she needs to speak. Okay, and she's not a single woman, she has a husband. Her husband is Lapidop. Okay? So what happened was this. She appointed a man to fight. She's a prophetess. She appointed a man. Of course, the Lord spoke to her and dropped down. And she's talking to the man. His name is Barak. And she says, Barak, against you, I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army. You know Sisera? He got nailed. Right? His head got nailed. All right? What happened was that he was... Okay, let me tell a story real quick. You know, he was running away from Israel and his armies were all scattered because God gave them the victory. He ran into a tent. He told a woman, can I just hide? Not hide, but she knew who he was. And she allowed him to lie down there for a while and she gave him some milk, but he was hiding there. And you know what milk do to you, right? It makes you sleepy in the daytime, right? Even at night, a glass of milk. So he fell asleep. When he fell asleep, this woman, her name is Jael, she took a hammer and a stick and she put it on his forehead and she slammed him. He was nailed. Fixed. He was fixed. All right? And he was a commander of King Jabin's army who had all these hundreds of chariots of iron. Amen. So there's a story that happened later on. But in the beginning, actually, what happened was this. This Sisera who got nailed with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. Who is the your? Barak. God wanted Barak to destroy Sisera. But what did Barak say? Barak looked at the prophetess and say, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. So the prophetess said, so she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there'll be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Was that God's purpose? Was that God's plan? No. Go back again. All right? What did God say? I will deliver him, Sisera, into your hand. But because he says, unless you go with me, I will not go. You limit the Holy One of Israel. God says, then there'll be no credit for you. The credit will go to a woman. His name is Yael. Are you with me so far? Now we come to the question that I left you all hanging weeks ago. Hebrews, the famous hall of faith, and we have this question asked in Hebrews. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Now, I was reading this one day, and then I knew that there's no insignificant details in the Bible. You know, Jesus quoted the Bible based on one word, and the Pharisees never answered. You're quoting based on just one single word? As if the Bible is not inspired. They knew the Bible, the Pharisees. Every word is inspired. Jesus argued that God is a God of not just the dead, the God of the living, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He argued from the M, I am. Elohi Elohenu, I am, present tense. I'm still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in arguing about the resurrection. And the Pharisees never said, you're arguing based on one word. So when I read the Bible and I see Gideon and Barak, wait a minute. Chronologically speaking, who came first? Barak came before Gideon. All this in the book of Judges, okay? Then Samson and Jephthah, wait a minute. Jephthah came before Samson. Samson is towards the end of Judges. In fact, he was the last judge. Officially, it was Samuel the last judge, but Samson was the last judge. Just like the time of the kings. It ended with Nebuchadnezzar coming in, and the last king, his eyes was gouged out. The last judge of all the judges, his eyes was gouged out. In Christendom, the last church, the professing the people, not the true church, Philadelphia, but the last one, Laodicea, Jesus says, you are blind. So in everything that man does, whether it's through prophets, whether it's through kings, whether it's through priests, whether it's through Christendom, it always fails if we forget the Lord is number one, central in our life. So here we go. Samson came after Jephthah, but yet his name is mentioned first. What about David and Samuel? Who came first? Samuel anointed the boy David, right? If not, there's no prophet to anoint him. So David came after Samuel, yet David came first. Yeah. What's the reason? Want to venture a guess? I told you about Barak. Compared to Gideon and Barak. Real quick, Gideon and Barak both had faith, or else their names won't be here. But it's not about time. It's not about when God puts a name first, it's usually God's priority. It means God favors that first. It is actually not based on time. It's based on the quality of faith. It's based on the excellency of faith. It's a greater faith. As I showed you just now, Barak compared to Gideon, Barak's faith was, if you'll go with me, then I'll go with you. Whereas for Gideon, his eyes was on the Lord. You know, he did put out the fleece, but obviously with God, God allowed it because he was looking to the Lord. Whereas Barak was looking to the woman. Are you with me so far? It's not about chronology. It's about the quality. It's about the excellency of faith. What about Samson and Jephthah? You know, today I hear people preach against Samson a lot and all that. But let me tell you this. Carnal as he is, he reminds us of all of us. But he had faith in God. His name is mentioned in the hall of faith. He made it to heaven, yes, of course. Amen? And Samson and Jephthah, what about Samson? What is Samson doing? What did Jephthah do? Samson, for example, here's a story where it says he found a new jawbone of an ass, put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps of the jaw of a donkey have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramat Lehi, which means the exaltation of the jawbone. All right, drop down. And he was sore thirst and called on the Lord. He was sore thirst. When he was thirsty, who did he call on? The Lord. He called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance. He gave God the glory. Say what you want about Samson. He knew where his deliverance came from. You have wrought this great deliverance. You've given this deliverance to the hand of your servant. Now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Ain HaKoreh. Ain is fountain. Ha the Koreh is the caller. The fountain of the one who called. Okay. Which is now in Israel. And one of these days, I pray that you go to Samson's house and the place where he was buried. It's all there. And there's no monuments, by the way. Only the place that he's buried, there's a Jewish tomb. But I'm telling you, it's exciting. We were there this much, right? And, let me tell you this. This is not based on law. It was based on law. Samson failed. The moment he picked up, go back again. When he picked up the jawbone, go back. Verses before. Yeah, he found a new jawbone of an S and put forth his hand. Can you see that? He touched a dead carcass. He's not supposed to. Nazirite vow, he's not supposed to touch any dead body. And yet God wrought the victory for him because in a way he functioned like the Syrophoenician woman. It wasn't time for the Gentiles, but she reached out into the future. Faith will transcend time and space. Amen. But he was not effectively here. He's not under law, but he was under grace. He was functioning in faith in the Lord. He was looking to the Lord. Are you with me so far? So why was he put above Jephthah? Jephthah came first. Who is Jephthah? The Bible says he was the son of a harlot. He was called back. He was at first rejected by his brothers, rejected by his community. Then later on, they call him back when the enemies came because he was a warrior. But look at what he did. Samson called on the Lord, but Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I'll offer it up as a burnt offering. He made a vow to the Lord. When you don't have a relationship with God, You will do a barter system. God, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. It shows a weakness of faith. It shows inferiority. Are you listening, people? You don't barter. Like I was preaching a few months ago on the Lord of the Vineyard, the parable, right? The one that received the most favor for the least effort, right, put in. A full day's wage was the one that trusted the landowner. Whereas the one that bargained, and we bargain. You know, that shows we are legalistic. Legalistic people bargain. Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. That should not be, people, in our walk with God. He's our Father. You are His Son. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is your high priest. He's the good shepherd. We have a relationship of love. Instead, we feel like God will not move unless I tell Him, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. I vow to you. All vows are under the law. Believers don't vow today. Okay? Are you with me so far? Okay, so you can see it. By the way, it's a very sad story. You know who came up to see him first? He thought it's an animal, right? It was his daughter. It's whatever comes out, I will offer as a burnt offering. Now, he did not kill her because God doesn't want a human burnt offering. All right? The Bible says she bewailed her virginity. In other words, for the rest of her life, she gave her life up. All right? Never married. Okay? You can read the story, Jephthah's story. So nonetheless, we don't have time to go back to Hebrews 11 to see about David and Samuel. Just to let you know, if you read 1 Samuel 8, we have the only mistake that I can see of Prophet Samuel, which was actually he put his sons, 1 Samuel 8, he put his sons over as judges over Israel, but his son did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, perverted justice. And even though, you know, David loved his sons, David never placed his sons in position. It was his son Absalom that usurped the authority. All right? So there's a faith quality. God forbid I should say anything untoward, okay, or amiss about this wonderful prophet Samuel. He's a story to learn. I mean, his character is amazing, but in terms of faith, David had faith that God really puts his approval on. Amen? Are you with me so far? And then go back to Hebrews 11. Last one is the prophets, you see? The prophets put last. If you look at all the names here, all six of them are ordinary people, except for David, king. All of them are ordinary people. What is that saying? And God put prophets last. You would have thought the prophets, like Pastor Henry, Pastor Lawrence, all would be named first, right? But God put prophets last. Why? God is saying ordinary people can walk in the excellency of faith. Amen?
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. My friend, you were made to thrive, not just survive. Find out more in Joseph Prince's book, Give Me This Mountain, yours today for a gift of any amount to the ministry. In this book, discover how to walk in supernatural strength and confidence for the battles of life and how you can possess all the promises of God He has waiting for you. For a gift of $55 or more, you can get 3 copies of Give Me This Mountain to bless and encourage your loved ones. And for a gift of $75 or more, we will send you a copy of Give Me This Mountain along with a limited edition bookmark and Joseph's Give Me This Mountain audio study companion. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to request yours today. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. I pray for you people in the name of Jesus that as your days, the doctors tell you, as your days progress, this part here will get weaker. That part will get more and more decayed. This one will get worse and worse, not better and better. But I'm here to tell you, the Word of God says, as your days, so shall your strength be. Who will you believe? In other words, the older you grow, the stronger you are. That's what it's saying. Oh, I don't hear no amen, except for one over here, I think. As your days. But the experts can only tell you what is the truth based on their limited understanding. I wouldn't call it truth. I'll call it facts. But it's still limited to the flesh, to the boundaries of man's understanding and knowledge. But when you trust the Lord, it's an inexhaustible reservoir of His supply open to you. in all our reasonings, never leave God out of the calculations. Amen. In all your reasoning, put God first. Amen.
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling.
I want to take a moment to thank a very special group of people, Grace Legacy Builders. You know who you are. You're the ones who make this possible. Because of your generosity, lives are changed, bondages broken, and families set free from decades of wrong belief. Every praise report we receive, and we get many every day, is a testimony of God's grace and a testament of your faithful support of our ministry. Thank you for making a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you greatly.
Be a Grace Legacy Builder today. Your giving powers our ability to keep sending the gospel of grace to the world. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to start building.
Have a prayer need? Try our special digital prayer experience today. You can access it anytime, anywhere, from your computer or mobile phone. Many across America have shared how blessed they have been by this prayer experience. We're also giving away free digital resources to encourage you in your time of need. Let us stand in faith with you. Visit josephprince.org/prayer today.
Introducing Grace Academy.
Welcome to Grace Academy. Grace Academy has been on my heart for a long time. If you've ever had questions about how to walk in grace or what it means to live by grace, this is the place where you'll find answers on how to live a life that's anchored on our Lord Jesus.
Featuring brand new content from Joseph Prince, Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you through some of life's toughest moments. Participate in activities that will help you apply the Word of God to your daily life. Discover resources that will help deepen your understanding of the Lord's love and heart for you.
I pray these resources will inspire and equip you to live confidently every day. Enjoy and be blessed.
Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA.
Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.